Would you stand with me, church, as we're here to be able to give thanks, give praise, honor, glory to our Lord. Let's praise Him together as we raise a voice. As our voices become one voice this morning.
Remember those walls we call sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. And He came, and He died, and He rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. And He came, and He died, and He rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, lifted up. This is our God, this is who He is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Yes. We give You praise. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But we heard every word, every whisper. Thank You, Lord. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of His faithfulness. Never once did He fail, and He never will. Thank You, Lord, 'cause this is our God, this is who He is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Yes, who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Lift it up, this is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Church, lift up.
Sing with me,
how great is our God.
And all will see how great is our God. Oh, we praise You, God. Thank You, Jesus. How great.
Lord, thank You, Jesus.
I may not know what's ahead, but I know who he is. He is my hope in my defense, love that never ends. That's just who he is. He's my anchor in the waves. He's my healer in the pain. He's my compass when I can't see the way. He's my ever-present help in time of need, my strength when I am weak. That's the reason I sing. I may not know what's ahead, but I know who he is. He is my hope in my defense, love that never ends. That's just who he is. When my fears surround me and the shadows all I see, he's the light and he's the lamp to my feet. He's my ever-present help in time of need, my strength when I am weak. That's the reason I sing. I may not know what's ahead, but I know who he is. He is my hope in my defense, love that never ends. That's just who he is. Oh, oh, that's who he is. He's never gonna let me go. I'm just gonna let you know. Joy in the morning, peace in the evening.
It's getting harder to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. And I don't walk like I used to, and I don't talk like I used to. I've been washed from the inside, I've been washed from the inside. Come on. And hallelujah, hallelujah, I know. But nothing's more real than this, in the presence of God. Oh, when my heart experienced, and when my shame hit the wayside, and my sin met the Most High, I've been washed from the inside. I was washed from the inside. Come on.
mercy fills the streets to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through dark and fear, and in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day, and there will be a day when all will bow before him, and there will be of the faith with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the
Camarillo Community Church. How many of you guys are excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Man, so excited to be with all of you guys here today. You guys may notice that the table from last week is still up here. It's there purposely for the whole month. We're actually going to be leaving this table out. And the idea is that every single time that we would come into this church, that we would understand that we are coming face to face with the Lord. Right? You guys, how many of you guys here appreciated last week where we set the tone, set the stage for this coming series regarding the spiritual disciplines, and we talked about how the spiritual disciplines are a means for us to get face to face with God. So when we come to church, know that you are not only standing there side by side with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you are also standing in the very presence of God. Getting to know him, beholding his glory as in a mirror, that you are seeing the very glory of God, and that glory is transforming you and making you into an even greater image of him. And so this is what it means to come face to face with God, and this is our whole series for the month. And so as we do so, we're going to be talking about church, we're going to be talking about the Word or the Bible, we're going to be talking about prayer, and we're going to be talking about fasting. And we have these wonderful gifts that we're going to give to you guys at the end of every single message. We have these bookmarks that if you put them together, they're going to make an image. And as we continue on in our series today, I want to open up in this way. How many of you guys here are fans of the written or spoken word? Whether that's poetry, reading books, listening to motivational speeches, watching TikToks, where you're informed about things, but all of us have some sort of proclivity, some sort of natural relationship with words. It's something that it's written to the DNA of every single man, woman, and child in this room today. As a matter of fact, I remember discovering my love for words when, as a young child, I picked up for the very first time A Wizard of Earthsea. And I read my first fantasy novel, and later would come Harry Potter, Artemis Fowl, Percy Jackson, and the Olympians, and I had discovered that I had a great love for words. Now, I'm not very good at crafting them, but I could appreciate somebody who is really good. And so, and this is not just exclusive to me, but it's something that we as humans all share, that there are 17,000 ethno-linguistic people groups in this world, and all of them share language. They share words with each other. And so it's no surprise to me that God putting this desire in us to communicate, to know via words, and also to express ourselves and be known using words, it's no surprise to me that the Bible would then go and describe God as the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right, that the Bible describes the man Jesus Christ as the Word. As a matter of fact, when God desiring to display himself to the people of Israel and to show his glory at the behest of Moses, who said, God, if you would just be able to show me your glory, if I could just see who you are, understand what makes you you, that God responded to Moses through words. He says, I am, the Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, but abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, who shows steadfast love to 1,000 generations, forgiving them of their sins, trespasses, and iniquities, but who will by no means let the guilty go unpunished. That God, desiring to show himself, shows himself through his written word. And so as we really dive into what it means to read this book, what it means to dive into the Bible, I want you guys to understand something here, that this is the very self-disclosure of God, that we understand who God is in part by our experiences, in part by the created natural order of this world. Yes, all of those things contribute to our understanding of who God is, but could I tell you that the clearest path, that the way that you can get most near to God and understand who he is through this written word. Right? It's through the word of God that we draw near to him. And it's through the word of God that we understand him. That these words are more than just words of an ancient book written 2,000 years ago, but they're very words of God, and we can trust in them. We can put our faith in them, and we can believe in them, and that they're able to make you wise unto salvation, as we heard in 2 Timothy just a few weeks ago. And so as we open up our word today, I want to pose this simple question to you. And this question is this: how can the Bible bring me closer to God? Right? How can the Bible bring me closer to God. Jacob, this is a book written 2,000 years ago. It's antiquated. It's outdated. We've come so far in our knowledge of things. How can this ancient book, this thing of the past, this relic of a past age, how can this possibly offer me anything in my life? How can it bring me closer to God? I have science books and philosophers and all the greatest minds to do that for me. Why do I need the Bible? Well, as we go through this lesson today, the first thing that I want to show you is that because by reading it, I can see his face. So how can the Bible bring me closer to God? Well, because the Bible paints an image of who God is. By reading it, I can see his face. By reading it, it shows me exactly who God is. It gives me a clear image of the God of this universe. And so we're going to see that here. I want you guys to turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. And in the Word of God, it reads like this. It says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that you in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." A very simple statement said here by Jesus, right? And what Jesus is doing here, we can go ahead and put that verse down. But what Jesus is doing here is that Jesus is, he's illuminating a very important truth about the Scriptures, okay? That this Bible right here has a central object, has a central subject, rather. That the Bible, all 66 books written by 40-plus authors over the space of 1,500 years, that there is a central subject to this book, and it is Jesus Christ, okay? If you guys read this book thinking it's about yourself, if you guys go and open up these pages thinking it's about how you can live your best life now, I'm sorry, but you're going to have a really bad time reading through this book. But if you read this book desiring to know Jesus Christ, let me tell you, there's not a single page in all of this book that doesn't testify to the character, goodness, graces, mercies, judgment, righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not a single page in this book doesn't testify to who Jesus is. Every single word of it is about him. That Jesus, that God, that he is the subject of the Bible. And so Jesus reveals this here. He says that you read the Bible thinking that you have eternal life, but let me tell you that you don't understand a thing of it. Because if you did, you would understand that this book was written about me, the God-man, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the only Son begotten by the Father. Right? It is written about me. It's written about the Father. It's written about the Son. It's written about the Holy Spirit. That the Bible is that paints me an image of who God is. I want you guys to see a verse here in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm using my bookmarks today. They're coming in handy, so I can turn to the passages with you. But in Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to start here in verse 1. It says, "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." And so obviously right here, the Bible is talking about the man, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 39, that all of the Scriptures testify and they bear witness of Jesus. And so if Jesus is the imprint or the very image of God, and if all of the Scriptures bear witness of Jesus, then when I read the Bible, I'm seeing the very image of God. A lot, you know, one question that I get a lot as a middle school pastor, and often, these will be younger children who ask me this, but they tell me, "What does God look like, Jacob?" I've always wondered what God looks like. Does he have a nose like I have a nose? Does he have hair like I have a hair? Does he have ears like I have ears? Like, what is it? What is his skin tone? What does he look like? What does his smile look like? And I get this question sometimes. And you know what the best answer to that question is? Read this book. You want to know what God looks like? He's not a person. The Bible says that he lives in inapproachable light, right? That he has no body, he has no form, right? He is a spirit, so we can't assign any physical properties to him. But if you want to know who he is at his core, to down to the root of his character, read this book. In it, you see the very face of God. You get to see his image. And so how can the Bible bring me closer to God? Well, first we said it was because by reading it, I can see his face. And then secondly, we're going to see by studying it, I can know his heart. Because by studying it, I can know his heart. Because when I not just read and just take in the scriptures, but I really get down to it, I really take time to understand and study the word of God, what I see is I see the very heartbeat of God. I see what makes him tick. I see who he is. I see his likes and his dislikes. We have this table up right here. It's kind of a symbol of getting to know someone. Right, we talked about last week, right, on a date you go and you sit in front of a person whom you're interested in getting to know, and you begin to probe into who they are. You begin to learn their dislikes and their likes, what makes them, what they're passionate about, what makes them angry, what makes them happy, what irritates them, what are their joys and comforts in life, and we go and we probe into them by asking questions. Well, if by dating we get to understand who our significant other is, then by reading the Word of God, we do the very same. We understand God through his word. I want you guys to see this here. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to turn there to Proverbs chapter 2. Okay. And we are going to start here at verse 3. And the word of God says, "Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for its hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." If you have a desire for insight, if you really do want and desire to know who God is, if that's a desire of yours, a wish of yours, and you really do seek after it, then you'll understand it and you will find knowledge. That God is not so far off. That God isn't some distant God who's like, you know, who's mysterious. And you know, the book of Acts says it this way. It says that in times past, people kind of felt around in the dark looking for who God is. Right? And they kind of stumbled around in the dark, but today God has made himself very clear. God has made himself very, very clear, very evident that he, through his word, he shows us exactly who he is. Do you know you can go and pick this up at any Walmart? You can pick this up on Amazon right now. You could go to Barnes & Noble and get the very word of God. It's not a precious and rare thing. As a matter of fact, here in this country, it's actually very common. Right? Many of us have Bibles sitting on our shelves that we don't read, that we don't use, collecting dust, right? That the Word of God is actually very near, very accessible, and that this is the means to which we understand and know God. And as we talk about this idea of studying through the Scriptures, I want to just kind of highlight some differences in our Bible intake, right? In our Bible reading, our Bible study, right? You know, there's such thing as reading through the Bible, and I think that's a great thing. I think that we all should read through the Bible. And there's also such thing as Bible study, okay? What's the difference here? Well, the difference is when I read through the Bible, I'll often go and I'll read through whole chapters at a time, and I don't spend much time getting caught up in the weeds. Because if I did, then I might just hone in on a verse and never make it past that verse. It might take me months or even years to get through a single book in the Bible. And I would not get the holistic image of what that book is trying to tell me. Right? And so there's a time for Bible reading, but yet there's also a time for Bible study. Bible study is getting into the weeds. Many of you guys here are probably familiar with the SOAP method. How many of you guys here ever heard of the, okay, We got a few veterans, you know, here at this church that remember those that day and age where we presented a means of Bible reading where we said you go and you read through the Bible, you go look at the scriptures, you find something in that scripture that really pops out at you. That's your observation, and then you go and you begin to study that. You begin to take it in, soak it all in, really understand what the Bible is trying to say right there. And this is the sort of hunger, this is the sort of thirst that right here Proverbs chapter 2 is describing. It says, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for its hidden treasures. How many of you guys here have ever watched that show Gold Rush? Anybody here? Where you watch that show where people, well, they'll go into Alaska and they will search, they will leave no rock unturned in order to find that gold. Right? They will leave no rock unturned, no river unexplored, no depth of the ocean untapped, right? They will go into every single area of the world looking for treasure and looking for gold. It shows a real hunger and desire for that thing, and this is what the Bible is describing right here. If you, just like the treasure-hungry person, go searching out for gold and silver, if you had a desire like that for the Lord, to know him, that he would honor that desire. That if you open up this book and you say, Lord, I want to understand what you're saying to me. Just ask the Lord and read it, and he will give you understanding. Listen, I'm a testament to this. Guys, I didn't come into this, to the church with a, you know, with some sort of Bible degree, or, you know, I came as a 13-year-old boy, didn't have a single, any church experience behind me. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't grow up going to Awana. I didn't grow up memorizing verses. But when I opened up this book, God began to pour his word and his wisdom into me. And the Lord really transformed my heart. And I began to see his word, and I began to just really take it all in and understand who he is, and to know his heartbeat, to know his character, to know what makes God a God, to know the differences between him and I. And I got to tell you, church, that I'm just barely scratching the surface. I'm just barely getting to the beginning of understanding who God is. And yes, I'm a pastor, but could I tell you there's so much more for me to learn. There's so much more treasure in this book. There's so many more things for me to understand about who God is. So you better believe that every single morning, the very first thing that I do is I open up this book. The very first thing that I do after prayer is I get into the Word of God. I go and I study God's Word, because it's important. It's more precious, more valuable than gold or treasure. And so how can the Bible bring me closer to God? Well, because by reading it, I can see his face. Because by more intense study, I can know his heart. And then because by memorizing it, I can carry his mind. Do you guys see the progression here? By reading it, I can see his face. By studying it, I can know his heart. And by memorizing it, I can carry his mind. By internalizing the scripture, not just studying it. Could I get a microphone? Not just by studying it. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Check 1, 2.
Okay. But by memorizing it, by internalizing the very word of God, right, I can have his mind. His mind can be in me. I can carry it with me throughout my day. I want you guys to see this here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want you guys to see the promise that God gives to his people as they're entering into the promised land. I want you guys to see this. We're going to start here in verse 11. It says, For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go into the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Amen. I love your excitement, Art. That this word of God isn't a distant thing. It's something that is meant to be carried with you. Listen, when I was in high school, I was known as the guy who would carry his Bible around with him all the time. Okay, and it was a Bible that was just about this big. I no longer have it. One time I left it on the top of my car as I was driving away from church. And I've never saw that Bible again. But it was a Bible not all unlike this one. I carried it with me everywhere I went. And I was known as the guy who carried the Bible with him everywhere. And this is what the Bible is telling us right here. He's saying, the words and the commandments that I give you, when you see in the scripture the commandments, that could often be synonymous with the very word of God. Right? It could often be when you see law, when you see commandments, when you see precepts, oftentimes, right, that those can be synonymous with the very word of God. And so what the Bible is saying is that these commandments that I've given you, these very words that you can see my face in and that you can detect my heartbeat through, that these very words, they are with you always, that you can carry them with you. That you can go and grab this word and you can take it, what's written down in page, and you can go then transcribe it into your heart and into your mind. This is why I love ministries like Awana. How many of you guys here are thankful for the Awana ministry that we have going on here every Thursday during the school year? And we have this amazing ministry that's dedicated to not only students learning the word, but then go memorizing that scripture, transcribing it onto their heart, right? Knowing those words so that at any single moment they can go and call back to the very words of God. The Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've taken the words of God off of the page and that I've laid them in my very own heart. I've stored them up in here so that I might not sin against you, so that I might always walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where I go, no matter what situation I go to, no matter what class I go to at high school, I carry the very word of God with me. Whether you go into your work or whether you go to visit family or you go out of country or going to the grocery store, that you guys are living epistles, that you carry the very word of God in you. And church, I want to really, really, really sell this point very, very well, because there are going to be times in life where you're going to encounter things that are troubling, hard, and difficult. And if you do not lean on the word of God, then you are going to have a tough time. If you don't lean on the word of God, then you're going to have a tough time. And you know what? You know, when you go through those difficult things, when you get that diagnosis, when you hear that person that tells you that bad news, when you go and encounter that troubling and difficult thing, you know you're not going to be able to go and whip out your Bible, and you're not going to be able to, like, okay, let me find the perfect verse for this right now. Like when Satan was tempting Jesus, did Jesus go say, hey, hold on, Satan, let me go consult with the word of God? Like, let me go, that's a good point that you bring up, right? I don't know the answer to that. Let me go consult the word of God. No, it was already in him. That Jesus already knew the word of God, so that when Satan came with temptation, Jesus then went and said, hey, I know you're saying this, but the word of God tells me this. And that we can know the very mind of God. That we can know what he has to say around certain things. Man, one of the things that I love so much is that over 18 years of serving Jesus Christ, I finally have some answers to some questions that I asked in my younger years of the faith. And that when younger people come to me and they ask questions of me, sometimes I can actually give them answers. Now, not all the time, right? But sometimes I can actually give them answers and I can say, that's a great question. I've wondered that in my life too. And I've memorized the word of God, so now I can carry the very mind of God with me, and I can go and I say, well, this is what the word of God says about that. And it only happens through scripture memorization, through us taking in the word of God. Right, and some of you guys might be like, "Well, I can't memorize scripture, right? I'm like, you know, I'm very bad at, like, you know, at remembering things, right? Well, you know, you don't have to go memorize the whole Bible. Start off with one verse, start off something that really speaks to you. But memorize this word of God, and if you do it, if you commit to it for, you know, if you make daily time for memorizing the word of God, I promise you, in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years from now, that you will amaze yourself with how much of the word of God that you have memorized. And so how can the Bible bring me closer to God? Well, firstly, we saw that because by reading it, I can see his face. That because by studying it, I can know his heart. By memorizing it, I can carry his mind. And then because by meditating on it, I can share in his affections. That by meditating on it, I can share his affections. That by sitting and dwelling and marinating in and really ruminating, pondering, like you guys could fit in all the synonyms you want, but by really considering the word of God, that I can share his affections, that his delights become my delights, and that his desires become my desires, and that this happens not just simply by knowing the word of God, but by savoring and treasuring and enjoying the word of God. We're going to see this here in Psalm chapter 1. I want you guys to see this. Psalm chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. This is actually your memory verse for this week. On every single one of the bookmarks we're going to give you guys today, every single one has a memory verse, and this is our memory verse for this week. And the Bible says this. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Right? How many of you guys here, and I had a conversation with a high schooler just recently,
And he was like, Jacob, do you really have joy when you read the Bible? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I don't know if I could understand that. And I was like, I really do have joy when I read the Bible. That there is a delight in me understanding and knowing more about who God is. And I invite you guys, if you are lackluster, if you are stagnant in your affections towards God, I encourage you to start reading this book and watch how your affections soar. Watch how you guys begin to love knowing more about God. And I want you guys to understand that the difference here, right? So the Bible tells us he delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. So what's this idea of meditation? How many of you guys here have ever been obsessed with something before? Okay? Maybe some of you guys, you go to sleep at night and you're working on that car, and then you go to sleep at night and you're like, and you know, you the job's already, the you've already, you know, put in your hat for the day, you've already called it a day, you've already gone to bed, and you're no longer working on that thing, but you go to bed and you're like, oh man, if I did this and I did this right here, oh, then I just know that like I can, that this will be the outcome right there. And I know that I can have this cool thing that can happen right here. And you go and you dwell on it and you think on it. And long past the time that you're working on that thing, you just keep on dwelling and sitting on it, right? Because you're obsessed. Like it's captured your heart. You're like, you know, you're 100% devoted, all in. Not only does your work, dominate your mind when you're doing it, but it dominates your mind in other hours of the day. Right? Some of you guys here, right, when you guys are at work, your minds are really on the World Cup. Right? Some of you guys, when you're at work, your minds are somewhere else. And can I tell you, that is the biblical definition of meditation. Okay? That meditation is not the sitting arms crossed, right? Emptying our minds of all distractions. That's not what biblical meditation is. But rather, biblical meditation is taking a truth of Scripture, taking a verse here, a verse there, and just ruminating on it, just thinking on it. Like it's been a long, you've already read that this morning. You're no longer in your Bible reading time. You're no longer in your Bible study time, but you're still thinking on it. You're still dwelling on it. Your mind is full of it. And that the Bible tells us that when we get to a place where we meditate on his word, where we're just every single day we're obsessed, we're thinking about it, even when we're not doing anything pertaining to it, the Bible tells us that our delight becomes in his law, okay? When we meditate on his word, our delight becomes his word. That we delight ourselves in it. It becomes a real joy to us. It becomes a real joy that in the Bible, I can read information, but it's in through biblical meditation that I really savor the truths of the Scriptures. That I really chew on those truths, and I begin to savor it, and I begin to enjoy it. I begin to be like, man, like God said this in his word. Now here are the implications of that. Here's what it means for me. And I begin to think on those things, and I begin to delight myself in the law of the Lord. And so how can Bible reading bring me closer to God? Well, because by reading it, I can see his face. By studying it, I can know his heart. By memorizing it, I can carry his mind. By meditating on it, and I can share in his affections. And then lastly, because by applying it, I can display his glory. Because by applying it, I can display his glory. Would you guys see this here in John chapter 15? We're going to read verses 7 and 8. And the word of God says this. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I will go away. If I do not go away, the helper... Oh, I'm reading 16. Sorry. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. Pastors make mistakes sometimes. John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay? Would you guys to hear the rich truth that Jesus is putting out on full display for his church? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay? If my words, if they have life in you. Not just simply you go and, how many of you guys here have ever told your kids something and it was like, out, you know, in one ear and out the other? It didn't stick whatsoever. That's not abiding, okay? Those are words that don't abide. Those are words that fly, right? And so Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words don't just go in through one ear and out the other, but they have their home in you. They abide in you. They stick inside of you, right? Then if you do that, then you can, one, he says that you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But I want you guys to notice this next part here. It says, but by this, the Father is glorified, that you bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay. What happens when the word of God abides in us? When we take in the word of God, when we read it to see his face, when we study it to know his heart, when we memorize it to have his mind, when we meditate on it to have his affections, what happens is when the word of God abides in us and when it lives in us, then I can bear much fruit. What does the Bible mean here by saying bear much fruit? It means that you can be like Jesus, okay? That you could not just have information, but you could have transformation when you read through the word of God, okay? That you could not just have, that you could read through the Bible and not just take in information, but it will begin to mold you and it'll begin to shape who you are as a person. Did you guys know that there was a study, I'd read this a few years ago and I just thought it was so interesting. Did you guys know that there is a study that says that couples that have been married for 30, 40, 50 plus years, that they begin to, their faces actually begin to like merge, like they begin to have a similar face. And the reason for that is because as you sit in front of the same person for decades and years at a time, what begins to happen is you begin to mimic their facial expressions and you begin to get wrinkles in the same places. And you begin to get creases right at the same spots, and your muscles build in a certain way where your faces actually start to mimic each other. And that this is a very demonstration and image of what it means for us to look at the Word of God daily. When you look at it, it begins to transform you. For we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another as by the Spirit of the Lord. That when you see the Word of God, when you see Jesus displayed in the Scriptures, that it could change who you are. And that you used to be selfish, you used to be a person that didn't love to worship Jesus, that didn't like going to church, and all of a sudden Jesus changed your heart and he changed your mind and he made you more like him. That's what it means to bear much fruit. That's what it means to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to have love, to have joy, to have peace, to have patience, to have hope, right? These are all the things that the Spirit gives us. These are the fruit of the Spirit. That we see this when we read the Word of God, because the Word of God is not just words on a page. It is the very words of God, and it teaches us about who Jesus is. Which brings us to our big idea. That every page of Scripture is an invitation to know, love, and become like Jesus. That every page of Scripture, remember the words of Jesus, John 5:39. Every word testifies of me. Every single word in this book. Every page of Scripture is an invitation to know, love, and become like Jesus. That every single page in this book, every single word, that it is powerful. It is able to make you wise into salvation. It's profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness. That this Bible is so advantageous to you. It is such a, it is the greatest means for God to change you and to transform you into a better Christian. It is your greatest pathway towards joy. It is the most clear path towards peace in your life. That if you would just pour into this Word of God, that it could transform you. That you could see the Savior face to face, that you could know him and love him and become like him. When I was 13 years old, I was troubled. Didn't know left from right, up from down. Man who had been told many things in life and yet had come to question them all. And I remember stepping foot into a church for the very first time as a 13-year-old boy. And they told me, hey, if you want to know more about who this God is, who this guy that we're talking about, this man named Jesus, I invite you to open up this book and read it. And so they gave me a brown, leather-bound King James Version Bible. And I grabbed that book. And I started in Genesis. And in 3 weeks, I was all the way finished with Malachi. And then I started in the book of Matthew. And within a week and a half, I was done with Revelation. Why? Why would a 13-year-old boy go and spend a month of his life pouring into this book, night and day, reading it? Because in it, I found the very face of God. I was searching for everything. I was searching for purpose and meaning in life and hadn't found it anywhere. And they told me about this man named Jesus Christ. And I said, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the thing that I've been searching for all of my life. And I opened up this book and I found it. I found the thing that I was looking for, that I found the God who made me and who created me. And now I get to know and love and worship and become like this God who gave himself for me, who died on the cross. Church, if you've heard about Jesus and he sounds like an interesting guy to you and you want to know more about him, you don't know if you want to worship him, if you want to serve him yet, I encourage you, read through this book. Church, if you have been a believer for a long time and you feel yourself growing stagnant and stale in your faith, read this book. Church, if you are studied in the scriptures and you are on the path, you're a mature Christian discipling and being discipled, don't stop reading this book. Don't stop studying this book. It is life to your bones. It is like air to your lungs. It's like food to your stomach, that this word of God, that you need it. It is more precious than silver. The Bible says that man does not live by bread alone, but we live by the very words of God. It is more necessary for your living as Christian than the air you breathe and the food that you eat. Dive into this word of God, church. Dive into this word of God. Take it in. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Apply it, church. And if you do so, then you will be able to know, love, and become more like this man, Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just worship you. We thank you for the gift that is your word. And God, we don't want to take this word of God for granted. Lord, I pray that not another day would go by, Lord Jesus, without us building a regular habit of getting into your word. In it are the words of life. Where else can we go? There is no other book. There are no other words in all of human history that have ever been uttered or written down that can give us what your word gives us. So Lord, I pray that whether we know you, whether we desire to know you more, whether we don't know you or are interested in getting to know you, I pray, Lord Jesus, that every single person here in this room, Lord, would get a fresh hunger to know your word, to read it, to study it, Lord, to memorize it, to meditate on it, and to apply it, Lord. They give us all this desire in the name of Jesus, I pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. One last thing before I leave. At the end of this service, we're going to give you guys some bookmarks. And on those bookmarks, we're going to have some challenges for you guys. I want you guys to take this serious, okay? We have a scripture, a memory scripture for you guys. We have some Bible study challenges for you guys. I encourage you guys to go and do those things and to hold each other accountable. Hold me accountable, right? Come test me on the memory verses, okay? God bless you, church.
Thank you, Jacob. That was awesome. Hey, I have my friend Danny here. This is Danny Anthony. He's a missionary our church supports at Camarillo Community Church. And I met him for the first time in the summer of 1996. I was working with the youth ministry here, and he came to America from Indonesia for the first time with another missionary to Indonesia that we've been supporting for a long time here. Many of you know who that is. And he spent the summer here volunteering with the youth ministry. He came back the next summer and went with us to camp at Catalina, did some stuff with us, got to know his heart. And during this course of the past 31 years, God's put ministry on his heart. And he, in Indonesia, has started a Christian school. And I'm going to have Danny tell you about the ministry he does that you guys who give to this church help support. Go ahead, Danny.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Danny Anthony. I'm from Solo, Central Java, Indonesia. And I'm here with my son, Gabriel, and we both help Mr. Bud with Coast to Coast Camp. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you guys. And before I continue, I want to answer some common questions that have always been given to me. No, we do not ride elephants to school. And yes, we do have Starbucks in Indonesia. So 20 years ago, God put us a place in our heart to start a Christian school in Indonesia. In 2006, the school name is Charis Institute Solo, and we start with no one. 2006, no one believed me as a principal at that time. So in 1 year, we don't have any students. Finally, 2007, God gave us 19 children to start with a preschool and kindergarten. And we just want to start with a simple mission that to provide Christ-centered education, support, especially to middle and lower family that cannot afford to go to a quality Christian education. And honestly, this journey has been a roller coaster for me and my staff. There are so many seasons that we wonder how we can pay the building rent or expand the program or even pay the salary for our staff. But through this season, we see God has been so faithful to us. Today, by God's grace, the small beginning, 19 students, today we have more than 450 students over the preschool, elementary, and junior high school. But what makes this story even remarkable is where God plays us. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world, a place for about 280 million people. And yet God given us the privilege and honor to open a Christian education and share the love of Christ to the student every single day. At Charis, we're not just teaching math, science, or English, but we're also teaching children how they are loved by God, helping them discover their purpose. And also, we see so many lives change and accept Jesus. Many of our students come from family that with limited financial resources. In fact, nearly 80% of our students receive scholarship. For many of them, Charis is more than just a school. It's a place where they can experience hope, the love of Christ, and also encouragement. And that's why this ministry matters so much. Because when you invest in a child, you do not just change one life. You impact a family, you influence a community, and you help shape a future generation. Today, I invite you to pray for Charis, for our school, our students, our teacher, and also our future. And if God plays in your heart, we will be honored to have you partner with us in this mission through support, because every gift, regardless of size, becomes an investment in God's kingdom. I'll close with this. You may never meet every child whose life is changed through your generosity, but one day in eternity, you will see the fruit of every seed you have sown. Thank you for allowing me to tell this story. Thank you, CAMCC, for supporting and praying for us and become part of the what God is doing through Charis Institute Solo. To God all be glory. Thank you.
All right, Danny. All right, thank you. So Danny's got an incredible ministry. He's going to be out front. If you want to talk more about it or ask some questions of him, he'll be out there. What an opportunity in a really a place that's hostile to Christianity to be able to have a school open for people where they're sharing the gospel with them every day. So incredible. And your support helps support that. We're going to receive the offering. There's three ways to participate on, you see on the screen. When you give to CAMCC, part of that money, a dollar out of every $10 goes out our doors to support ministries like Danny's, both locally and around the world. I want to say something about our pastor search real quick, just a little update. We're going to be conducting a congregational survey. So you're going to receive in your email next Sunday a link, and you can click it, take the survey. It's long. It takes about a half hour. So make sure you set some time. We're trying to get 75% of everyone who's actively involved at our church to participate. We want to learn about you a little bit. So there's questions about you so we can find out what kind of people are coming here, our own demographics, and then what you're looking for in a pastor. So if you could do that, it'll help us out a lot because we do value your input in this process, right? So be looking out for that. You'll hear more about it next Sunday. And then now I would like to invite on stage our team that's going to Romania. They are leaving on Friday. We send a team every year. And this is part of them. We're missing three, Angela, and Jocelyn and James Vincent. They can't be here this service, but we want to pray for them, and I wanted you to see their pretty faces so that you can remember to be praying over the next 2 weeks as well as we send them to represent us in Romania as they share the gospel there. So if you would want to extend a hand towards them, let's pray now. Lord, thank you for this team that's going to Romania, leaving this Friday. I pray for travel mercies, keep them safe on that long journey over there. And when you give them energy and fruitfulness, and that they would, their time there would be well spent, that there would be an impact for your kingdom as they share the gospel with the orphan kids, with the poor village kids, with all the people coming to the camp, that they would represent you well, and that there'd be life transformation for those who participate in what they're doing there. Lord, we say all this in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say, so glad you could be with us today. We're happy to have you as our guest. If you're a guest, want to say the first and second times guests, we have a gift for you. Make sure you make your way out to the tent on the patio. And for those of you who are newer here and haven't been to our Next Step dessert, we have one tonight at 6:30, and I just want to invite you. And if you want to be part of that, go to the tent as well and let them know you want to be part of the Next Step dessert, because we'd love to get to know you, and you can get to know our team there as well and ask questions and learn more about what makes us tick as a church. Okay, also coming up, something important is we have an event on the 26th. It's called Summer Splash, and it's a family event where after church we're going to have a barbecue, water games for the toy, things for the kids outside, water play basically. But I just wanted to say, if you don't have kids, you're still welcome to come enjoy the barbecue, hang out with the church. So that's coming up on the 26th. All right, before you go, don't rush off. Say hi to someone and enjoy some coffee and donuts. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Nicole Wall.
And we serve in the kids' ministry.
If you are looking for a place to serve, there is nothing more fulfilling than investing in the next generation. We would love to get you plugged in.
If you are our guest today, check out the new to CamCC tent on the patio to receive a $5 Starbucks gift card.
If it's your second time, we are so glad you are back. Make sure you pick up your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent as well. Or if you are watching online, go to camcc.net/next-steps to sign up. If there's anything you need, please let us know. A Bible, have questions about CamCC, or today you decided to follow Jesus, head on over to the tent and let us celebrate with you. We are so glad you are here.
Sunday, July 26th, 12 to 2 p.m., Family Summer Splash. Join us for the ultimate all-American summer hangout. We've got a giant water slide, water play, line dancing, popsicles, and barbecue available for purchase to support middle school summer camp. For more info, connect with Faith at CamCC.net.
Tuesday, August 4th, Family Patio Worship Night, 6:30 p.m. Join us for an outdoor, unplugged worship night on the patio. After a time of worship with your family, stick around for ice cream, toppings, and fellowship. Bring lawn chairs for you and your family. For more info, connect with Michelle at CamCC.net.
August 5th through 9th, Middle School Camp. You don't want to miss an unforgettable week. Kayaking, archery tag, high ropes, hiking, crazy group games, powerful worship, and of course God's Word. This is a week to grow in your faith, build friendships, and make memories that'll last a lifetime. Register at camcc.net/middle-school. For more info, connect with Jacob at camcc.net.
Sunday, August 30th, Next Steps Membership Class, 12:30 to 2 p.m. One-time class to become a member of CamCC. Come find out what it means to be a member, meet the staff, enjoy a short Q&A, and a free lunch. Child care is available. Sign up before August 23rd at camcc.net/membership. For more info, connect with Jacob at jacob@camcc.net. If you need prayer, we have our prayer team up front willing to pray for you at the conclusion of the gathering. Again, we are so glad that you came here today.
Make sure you're following us on our socials and stay in the loop of what is going on. For more information on these events, go to camcc.net.